Wake up, Coastal Carolina. Wake up. This is your CCTA Wake Up Call.
Produced by the Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association, a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization dedicated to the preservation of the U.S. Constitution, free enterprise, and individual liberty.
Hello, Coastal Carolina, and welcome to CCTA Wake Up Call. Again, we'd like to thank you for tuning in and listening to us on your Saturday or Sunday morning. And if you don't listen then, we hope you're tuning in online, because all the shows are archived on our website at cctaxpayers.com. We hope you'll go there and share that link with your friends and your neighbors, and of course with your family. Today we have Bob and Mary Griswold.
Hello.
Hello.
And of course me, your host, Rick Hopkins. And special guest today by telephone, Representative Keith Kidwell. Keith?
Hello, everybody. How's everybody tonight? Today, this morning, whatever it is.
Whatever. We're doing well.
Yeah, we have no idea of when people are listening, but...
Yeah, that's true.
The show airs at 6 a.m. on Saturday mornings, and then again, 11 a.m. on Sunday and 8 p.m. on Sunday. As I mentioned, it is on our website also. So, Keith, you're out of session right now.
Yeah, we're mainly in campaign mode right now. So, yeah, the General Assembly's had a calendar each month that we've kept open only so if Roy Cooper tries to do something goofy, we can go up and take care of that. But technically, we've not had any votes since July when we adjourned for the summer.
So you mentioned Goofy Cooper.
Yeah, him.
Have you got an accurate count on the number of vetoes he's had so far?
Well, you know, I lost track. There were so many. It's in the high 70s. I want to say 77, 78, somewhere in that area.
Isn't that kind of a record?
It is. He actually has more vetoes than all previous governors of the state of North Carolina combined.
That says a lot, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, you know, I figure like this, guys. I know he's got a veto pen, or a lot of them, actually, because, you know, he uses them all the time. So what I'm going to do is on November 9th, after this election's over, or shortly thereafter, as soon as I can get a big enough suitcase together, I'm going to go up to the General Assembly when we have the supermajority in the House, the Senate, and the court. I'm going to walk over, Facebook Live this, and I'm going to leave a suitcase with a note that I will read over Facebook Live that says, Governor, we've got the supermajority in the House, supermajority in the Senate, and majority on the Supreme Court. Your vetoes are no longer necessary. You are officially useless in the state of North Carolina. Kindly pack all your pens and go home.
Oh, man. We are certainly looking forward to that. But didn't he run his campaign on a bipartisan kind of platform that he was going to work across the aisle?
Well, that's the story that they tell everybody, the left being they. I want you to remember this, guys and listeners. Mr. Bipartisan stood in the General Assembly this year in his State of the State address, never even acknowledged the Lieutenant Governor of the state of North Carolina. That is unheard of in the history of North Carolina, to not acknowledge a person of such high esteem as our Lieutenant Governor. So that was his vision of bipartisanship, I guess you would say.
Well, now I can imagine if the roles had been reversed, somebody might have been labeled a racist.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it would have been a big problem if we had not acknowledged a Democrat in some venue of that nature. But, you know, here we are in the highest offices in the state of North Carolina in an official capacity. This is, you know, when you act in the General Assembly, you're at least supposed to put on the airs of being accepting of everybody that's in there. And you know, quite honestly, you show them the respect due their office. You know, and I bust Cooper's chops out here in the public. I've sued him many times, as you all know. But were I to address the governor in his official capacity in some sort of a meeting, I would address him as such, as Mr. Governor, you know, because that is what you're supposed to do. You know, out here, got a whole different opinion of him.
Right. Well, you're not known for holding back your opinion, so I'm going to give you another opportunity to share it with us. And that is all the way down the ballot, Republicans were elected in the last election. It was just the top four slots that went Democrat. Now, have you figured out yet how that happened?
Well, you know, I don't know exactly what happened with that. I do have a sense on the Cooper's race, and this is something I found quite interesting. In standing out at the polls in Beaufort County, I was at the Board of Elections the very first day of early voting last time through, and I did take note of one particular thing, and that is there was about 200 people standing in line right before the polls opened. You know, so we're at 5 minutes to eight. I believe it was October 17th last 2 years ago. And I looked down that line, and every person on that line was wearing a mask. Okay?
Yeah.
And I looked at a guy that was with me, who was a campaign consultant. And I said to him, I said, Greg, you see that line? He said, yeah. I said, that line tells me Cooper's going to win. He said, why do you say that, Keith? That's not all Democrats. I said, no. But every one of them is wearing a mask. And that tells me they agree with Cooper. Cooper's making them feel safe, and they're going to walk in there and vote for him. And I can tell you, there was Republicans right here in my county that came out after they voted and said, Keith, I voted straight Republican except for the governor because he's doing such a great job with COVID.
Yeah.
Right? So
I wonder if they
drank the Kool-Aid, man.
Wonder if they've woke up yet.
Let's hope so. Let's hope so. I know in Beaufort County, as of the close of polls last night, if I just take the two parties, leave out the unaffiliated vote and the four votes from the Libertarian Party, if you just took Republican v. Democrat, it was 57%+ Republican vote turnout. And then, of course, your unaffiliate, typically in my county here in Beaufort, about 60% to 65% of those are going to break Republican.
Yeah, and I haven't seen the numbers for yesterday, but it seems like we're tracking pretty close to what you're seeing there.
Yep. So I find that pretty interesting because normally we see a much closer polling in the two parties. And in fact, the unaffiliate vote is higher than the Democrat vote right now.
Wow.
And to my understanding, I don't know if y'all have heard this, and it's just a rumor, so don't go, you know, taking this to the bank and, you know, stacking a whole stack of houses on top of it or anything else that you're going to try and build something. But what I've heard through the grapevine is because of the abysmal polls for Sherry Beasley. In other words, the best results on the most recent polls that come out show Sherry down by 4.5%. And that's the one that's most in her favor. So Ted Budd's got a lead of 4.5%. All the rest of them are 5 and 6%. I've heard that the out-of-state money for Beasley is ceasing.
Wow.
Now, what does that translate to? Well, they won't be running ads on the radio, TV. They won't be sending out flyers because they're not going to have the money to do it, which is going to indicate that that's going to start to have a decline in the Democrat turnout at the polls, which should also favor us quite a bit. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, we will. That's for sure. All right. Well, let's take a quick break to hear from our sponsors. We'll come back, and I'd like to talk to you about the Freedom Caucus.
All right.
All right. Here we go. Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call Charles Grover at 252-637-2399 or stop by the shop on 17 South in New Bern. Torque can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they can rebuild your transmission if that's what you prefer. See Torque for a variety of minor automotive repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pump. You can count on Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out RightWingGranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to RightWingGranny.com.
The God and Country Christian Alliance has a simple mission, but it is a profound one. They want to inform and educate the public on issues of moral and political concern. They want to restore the Judeo-Christian values upon which this nation was founded to all levels of government. And they want to encourage and activate pro-family voters. Simple, but not easy. The God and Country Christian Alliance meets the third Monday of every month at Moore's Barbecue on MLK in New Bern. Meetings begin promptly at 7 p.m. and end by 8:30. To enjoy dinner with the group before the meeting, arrive between 6 and 6:30. Both the food and the company are good. Meetings include speakers and discussion, and their annual banquets are legendary. Join them on the third Monday of each month for a refreshingly candid view of the world and our place in it.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? They're people like you, a photographer, someone that ran their own business, someone retired from the military, just people in the community that love this country and have a desire to do their part to lower taxes and shrink government, to protect individual liberty, and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. We welcome you to come out to a meeting. If you like what you see and hear, there's a place where you can contribute to the cause. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. The group meets every third Tuesday at Stanley Hall Ballroom in downtown New Bern to enjoy a fantastic speaker and report on CCTA activity since the last meeting. If you've been disappointed with rising taxes and government intrusion, don't just complain. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. I'm your host, Rick Hopkins, again, and we have Mary and Bob Griswold, and we're speaking to Representative Keith Kidwell, who is working the polls real hard right now, and he has given us an update on how he left Raleigh. Keith, what do you expect to see when you go back? Is there anything on the back burners that you expect is going to be a big battle?
Well, as you well know, abortion is going to be a major issue, I believe, for us, assuming we take the supermajority, as I believe we will. Abortion is going to be right there on the front burner, at least on my burner. I can tell you it's going to be something. I'm also looking at things like making it where we cannot use ESG scores in North Carolina for credit scores. That we just need to stick to the actual credit scores, not how woke somebody is. We need to look very closely at election reform. We need to make sure that every vote is counted, that all legal votes are counted, and that no illegal votes are counted. Obviously, we're all very interested in voter ID. That is in the courts, and I feel pretty confident, at least at the federal level, we're going to win the voter ID case. So, you know, I'm hopeful that's going to come through. Of course, it won't take a lot from us unless we have to start over and do another constitutional amendment, because evidently the first one the courts here didn't think was done validly, even though I think it was 68% of North Carolinians voted for photo ID.
Yep.
How you pass a constitutional amendment and the court rules that it's not constitutional, I've yet to figure out. I'm dumbfounded by that. And guys, it's really hard to leave me speechless, but yep. I think they tried on that one.
Yeah.
There is a litany of legislation that we need to look at. We need to tighten up on our education process, try and put more of that into the hands of the local people and clear the path for them to educate our children on, you know, who America is, who America was, and who America needs to be. And in order to do that, we've got to get things like CRT and SEL out of our schools.
And constitutional carry.
Oh, yeah, that's that bill's already drafted, so all I got to do is wait for the right date so I can drop that. I'm just having them redate my constitutional carry bill. The other thing I'm going to look at very closely is no forced vaccinations of anybody by the government. So that's going to mean that the government can't sit there and tell employees of the state of North Carolina, nor can they tell our children to go to school, that they have to have this COVID vaccination. And I think every day, I think most of us are probably on the same page on this. And every day we're seeing more and more evidence that, you know, guys, we were right to start with.
Well, I hope that's written to cover all vaccinations and not just specifically COVID, because I think you're going to see more vaccination push, like from monkeypox and other things that come up down the road in the future.
And it will need to be all vaccinations. And I think anytime you're talking about putting a foreign substance in a person's body, it needs to be either that person's body, and if they're still a minor, it needs to be their parents' choice. The other thing we need to do is have a law in the state of North Carolina that says men cannot play sports in women's fields. Let's take a look very closely at what happened in Western North Carolina when we turn around and have a young girl get smacked in the face with a volleyball running over 70 miles an hour.
Yep.
And cause damage to this girl where she has a concussion and other injuries, vertebrae damage in her neck, because we're letting men play in sports with women. It should not happen. That is not something that should be condoned by the state. It should not be condoned by our schools. This is not an HB2 situation. You know, this is a situation where you have let's talk about it the way it is. That is abusive.
Yes.
Out and out abuse. Matter of fact, I would say it rises to the level of assault. Okay? That we can have a male slam a ball into the face of a girl. If he had done that out in the street, he would have been arrested.
Absolutely. All right, Mary.
Keith, I just have a quick question. Where are we with medical marijuana?
Wow. Up in smoke, I hope not. Yeah, I've had a lot of people, veterans, you know, average Joe, come into my office and want to talk about medical marijuana. And, you know, I'm not a doctor. I don't know what the ramifications are of that. What I do know is I've been told by a number of physicians, a number of people in the chemistry field, that we can actually replicate, as we do with so many other things, we can replicate the effects and actually the derivatives of the THC that comes out of marijuana and put it in pill form, okay? And I'm all for that. You know, that if it works, it helps people with cancer, glaucoma, whatever the case might be, PTSD. You know, we use all kinds of medicines like that. But when we look at the smokable marijuana situation, I have a very deep concern in the impacts that is likely going to have on the children of North Carolina. Let's talk about the fact that many studies I've seen now, not just one or two, some random studies, that show under the age of 21, children have permanent brain defects brought on by smoking marijuana. You know, people are going to say, well, we can control that by prescription because, you know, that's worked so well with opioids and everything else.
All right.
You know, we have not had any problems or failures there, right? You know, nobody's died from that or lost their job or, you know, whatever else happens with the detriments of drugs. You know, you're not going to control those. I mean, it didn't work with cigarettes. It didn't work with booze. I am of the opinion, and I know there's going to be a lot of people on both sides of the fence on this that are going to disagree with me, and I'm okay with that. We don't all have to agree on everything. But I am of the opinion that making something legal says to the kids it's okay. It probably can't hurt you because the government said it's legal.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just like
I just don't think it's the right thing to do.
Just like the vaccines aren't going to hurt you because the government says they're good.
Yep. Let's look at what happened in Colorado. The incidences of driving under the influence and the influence now being predominantly marijuana increased by 85%.
Yep.
When they legalized marijuana in Colorado, and that's happened in every state that they've done it. You know, so it that's an additional problem on top of what is my biggest concern, and that is the kids under 21. Saw a good friend of mine in high school, from about I think he was probably eighth, ninth grade when he started smoking marijuana, and by the time he was in his junior year of school, the guy couldn't even hardly tell you his name.
Well, now that we've breached the topic of drugs, let me ask you, because when we talk to our local sheriff and sheriffs from surrounding counties here, the fentanyl problem coming across the southern border and finding its way into North Carolina seems to be a big problem for them. Is there anything legislatively going on about that?
Yeah, I don't know if we can actually in North Carolina legally stop anything at the border. That's the problem. So the only thing we can do is enforce the laws that we have.
Well, can we put them on a bus and send them up to Martha's Vineyard or something?
Well, I suppose the governor might be able to do that, but I'm quite sure that Roy Cooper's not going to.
You're right.
And so I do like that move that DeSantis did and Abbott, both of them shipping people to Martha's Vineyard and out to Nancy Pelosi's house and, you know, that type of thing. I think it's a great plan. From my understanding, Nancy's got a great compound out there, highly secured so the people would not have to feel threatened in any way, shape, or form. And, you know, she could probably fill that up with by looking at it from the air. I'm thinking there's several hundred that could fit in that facility.
And it's a safe space because it's got a fence.
It is. Yeah, it's got a fence around it to keep, you know, let them in. I mean, you know, you don't want to prevent other people from getting in. You just have to stop them from getting out, evidently, is what the fence must be for. But somehow Nancy keeps getting out, though. I have to think about that a while.
Keith, crazy question. I know that you did the hospital access bill, and it's yes. funny, we had a neighborhood get together last night, and I was talking to a couple of people that had lost relatives prior to that access bill, and where they could not go see them in the hospital, and they were just so disappointed. And I mentioned that you had sponsored that access bill. Have you heard any more kickbacks from the hospital or whatever?
Well, you know, I think we finally put the death knell in that because what I had, and this very specifically in Craven County, they seem to be one of the holdouts, the Craven Hospital. And I kept getting phone call after phone call that, you know, another, yet another, yet another, that they were not letting clergy in, they were not letting family in. So I tell you what I did, guys, and y'all got one, to me, one of the greatest sheriffs in North Carolina, and Chip Hughes. I called Chip, I told him what was going on, and I said, is there anything you could do? He said, well, Representative, send me the bills and I'll take a look at them. So I sent him the laws. They were actually, at that point, session law. Sent Chip the session laws, called him back in about an hour. He said, Representative, these laws are ironclad. I don't see any problems in them with me enforcing them. He said, the next time somebody calls you that a hospital's not letting them or their clergy in the hospital, you call me and I will personally escort them to the room. Okay? I haven't heard anything after that from the hospitals not letting folks in.
I told you I wanted to get to the Freedom Caucus, but before we do, I also know that the redistricting case, there's still some controversy over that. The right is trying to push back against it, but the left is being adamant that they want to go back through it again. Can you tell us anything about that?
Well, you know, again, I'm just going to go with my personal opinion here, and that is that the state has the authority under the U.S. Constitution and under the North Carolina Constitution. The state General Assembly draws the maps, not a special master, not the courts, not anybody like that. So when we look at these special masters that were utilized by the courts to redraw the maps, I would hold that that's unconstitutional. It's very clear in both constitutions who's responsible for doing that. It's very clear it does not say that if the court doesn't like the maps that they can force a redraw by someone other than the General Assembly. You know, if they want to go back to the General Assembly and say, you know, we're not happy with these, do them again, okay, let's do that. You know, but still, it is the General Assembly's responsibility and sole authority. So in the court's decision to take that out of the hands of the General Assembly is an affront to the constitutional rights of the people of North Carolina. So in my mind, we need to go back and address that and redraw the maps to whatever way the General Assembly sees fit. You know the left's going to sue us again.
Yeah.
You know, it's just that's going to continue until we finally at some point get this through the Supreme Court, the U.S. Supreme Court. And I think at that point we'll get a final decision that says, hey, guys, read the Constitution. It's pretty plain, you know. There's no ambiguity in there. It's not like the stuff I deal with all day, which is tax law, where there tends to be some gray areas. This is all pretty crystal clear.
And based much of that is based on right now in the Supreme Court, the state Supreme Court having a political majority that really does not know how to read words or understand the definitions of words.
So, you know, I want to address that very directly. So the Dare County Democrat Party made a big mistake when they found out I was going to be the representative. They started following me on Facebook, and I guess they didn't realize that means I'm following them too. So they put a post up a couple of weeks ago of, you know, how important it was to get the right judges in place, that they had to have judges with knowledge and so on and so forth. And I said, well, yep, that's true. So be sure and vote Republicans because your guys can't even read the Constitution. So. And I'll tell you, I know you're going to get ready to head to a break here in a minute, but I got to give you one that's even better than that. So the Democrat Party in Dare County posted a Dare County Democrat women's post that was trying to do a fundraiser, and they had these shirts they're selling. I don't know, it was $20, whatever. There's a little T-shirt with the saying on the front that said, Democratic women are the life of the party. And to which I responded underneath of that, I said, yep, except at baby showers.
Oh!
Zing.
Ouch. Truth hurts.
Oh, man. Well, now that you brought it up, I think I will go to a break. And we'll come back and hear from you right after these words from our sponsors.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swansboro, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, Wellness Educator and Nutritional Consultant, at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news. Coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out RightWingGranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to RightWingGranny.com.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call as we're talking with Representative Keith Kidwell. Keith, I asked you about the Freedom Caucus. Tell our listeners about the Freedom Caucus, what it is, how it came about, and what its purpose is.
Well, the Freedom Caucus, in its infancy, started years ago with Representative Speciale and a few other members. I think it was about 15 or so at that time that got together and worked. And it wasn't actually called the Freedom Caucus at that time, but they worked to get some parts of the budget in a better condition than what it was. And I think they saved the taxpayers of North Carolina at that time like $40 million. In the next few years after that, they formed officially the Freedom Caucus. And when I went to the General Assembly 4 years ago, I joined the Freedom Caucus immediately. And we had at that time maybe four, five, six members tops. You know, we had a few meetings. We would discuss legislation and, you know, try and have some impact on it. In my last session when I was elected 2 years ago, Michael Speciale left. So I decided to run for the Freedom Caucus chair position. And stood on the floor of the House, you know, and said I was going to start the Freedom Caucus, and anybody that wanted to join was welcome, and, you know, both parties, because it's not a partisan situation. I haven't gotten any Democrats to join because they don't come up to the standards of values that they would have to for the Freedom Caucus. But we ended up with about 27 members, in the last 2 years in the Freedom Caucus, and that number has grown slowly. When I first started it, we had about 21 or two, and it's just increased slowly over time as they saw what we were doing. So we actually drew up a mission statement, and I don't have that in front of me, but in a synopsis, it says that our mission as the Freedom Caucus in North Carolina is to improve legislation, to point out to leadership any flaws that we find where it flies in the face of either the Bible, the U.S. Constitution, or the North Carolina Constitution, and to assist leadership in promoting and passing only good constitutional legislation. So we have done that. We have defeated many bills, some of them in committee, some of them just in their infancy, that they never so much as got out of drafting. We'd hear there was a bad idea and be like, no, you're not doing that. We've had bills come to the floor of the House that were calendared, and we would go to the Speaker and say, Mr. Speaker, Freedom Caucus is going to be against this bill in unison, and the bills were pulled off and not seen again. So we've had some good impact. We have fixed bad bills that, you know, weren't horrible but needed improvement, and we've had the ability to correct those. One, they wanted to run cameras all up and down the highways of North Carolina, and it was tucked into a bill, page 27, kind of hidden away type thing. And we went to leadership and said, guys, with this particular chapter and verse, we're against this bill and we'll kill the bill. So they excised that bad piece of the legislation, and we worked to get the rest of it passed. So, you know, we're not the caucus of no, we're the caucus of let's make it better. The other thing the Freedom Caucus did was routed out modems in machines in six counties in North Carolina. We had the Board of Elections, State Board of Elections, that sat with us in four different Freedom Caucus sessions for 90 minutes at a time. And we grilled them on their processes and policies. We made suggestions and recommendations for change. If they do not adopt those, it'll be codified into legislation. But in the meantime, we found out that, you know, they said, well, we don't really have any modems and machines. And, you know, if they do, they're proprietary and can't be removed. It would damage the machine and their old equipment and blah, blah, blah. Well, it turns out there was actually somewhere around 100 machines, six counties that did have modems in them. They were removable. And we did everything that we could to make sure that those were removed. Now, most of that, it is old equipment. It's the old telephone jack, you know, 2600 baud, plug them in, get that screeching sound to make the handshake modems. But point is, we were told they weren't there. They were there. Okay.
All right.
So, you know, that's the kind of stuff the Freedom Caucus does. I would expect we're going to see an increase in membership. When we take the supermajority, I would anticipate we hit 30, 35 members easily.
How many have you got now?
27 right now.
27 out of how many? Yep.
27 out of 69, I believe it is, members of the House.
Okay.
Yeah, so not too bad.
Good work, good work. Keep it up. We appreciate it. Okay, I'll turn it over to you now. Have you got a topic you want to share with us?
Well, so, you know, we have some very exciting news. We're oftentimes talking about problems and issues and things that aren't good. Let's talk about something that's really good, and that is about a year ago, I met an organization called Accelevate, and what Accelevate does is they are a drone provider for people up in Virginia, the Department of Defense, the military, NOAA, companies like Dell and Northrop Grumman that go to them and say, hey, we need to fly this drone, or we need a place to have a symposium. We need an airfield somewhere to use. And they were looking for some place, and Accelevate had told me that they were looking for an airport, and they really liked Eastern North Carolina. I said, well, that's funny, because I just got $20 million to improve the airport in Beaufort County to extend our runways and improve our computer systems there and get computer landing systems and lighting and so on and so forth. And he said, wow, we'd love to see it. So we got together, had them come down toward the airfield and the area, look at our colleges. We've even, you know, looked at aerial views attaching us to the Marine Corps base, attaching us to the different colleges in the area. Well, lo and behold, it turns out that we have an absolute perfect storm of what people need to build, practice with, launch, use drones throughout the eastern part of the world. And what they love about it, our airport doesn't flood. There's no tower. They don't like towers with drones for some reason. I'm not, you know, all that tech savvy on that. But The bottom line is we are bringing not just a company. We are bringing drone industry, air, land, and sea, to the Washington Warren Airport. We expect to sign a contract by the middle of next week with a very large company and should start flying drones out of there by November 15th. We have an official launch date, the first ever, which will be an annual event, the Drone Air Show. So we're going to have actual general aviation aerobatics going on with three just stellar performers that are going to be out there presenting what they do. We're going to show that an airport can be used with drones and general aviation. We're going to have drone stunt flying and such. I'm hoping we're trying to pull this off. Two things. One is to have the drones deliver the food from our local vendors to the dignitaries at the head table so that their food is going to come in, whether it's our... And we have some great places here. You all have heard of them. Bill's Hot Dog, King's Chicken, Boss Hog Barbecue, Hog Heaven Barbecue, whatnot. We're going to have that delivered right to the dignitaries, which right now we know that Greg Murphy is going to be there. I know that myself, several of the mayors in the area, I think that we're going to get Mark Robinson. We have the Secretary of Labor, Josh Dobson, will be there. And we have an invitation with high interest from, and not that I'm excited about his politics, but he is the Secretary of Transportation, Pete Buttigieg, which will shine a national light. Yeah, I know. But it will shine a national light on the project. And that's what excites me about it. Not so much of who he is, but who the office is that would be coming down here to see it. So we're very excited about that. What does it mean to Eastern North Carolina? Jobs, jobs, jobs.
Right.
That's what it means. High paying, good quality jobs with large and small businesses. We will manufacture, test, proof of concept, and operate drones out of the Washington Warren Field. And that is going to expand to the entire of Eastern North Carolina. We've already been in touch with all of the colleges in the surrounding counties, and we're getting in touch and working with already East Carolina University, Duke, and UNC, that they're all very excited about getting this happening. These jobs, guys, we have kids in Virginia right now working with Accelevate that get their, it's called a Drone 107 license. Don't ask me what all of it's about. But these kids are getting paid between $100 and $300 an hour to fly drones.
Wow.
I'm going to quit my job. Yeah. I'm going to go get a drone job.
So. Okay. Well, Keith, can you give us that location one more time?
Yep. That's going to be at the Washington Warren Field, which is on Airport Road in Washington, North Carolina, December 17th. It's an all-day event. It'll start at 9 o'clock in the morning. We're going to have food vendors on site, so you don't have to leave. It's going to be a very exciting event. You can catch it on my Facebook at Representative Keith Kidwell. It's going to be, it's in the Washington Daily News a couple of times already. There'll be more of that coming up. There's also opportunities for local businesses to get involved with this. There's sponsorships to get your name out there on the field, starting as cheap as $200. I insisted that our local businesses get a much better deal because some of the larger businesses, and we've already gotten two of them signed on, two very big companies. I'm not going to put the names out yet, but two very big national, matter of fact, international companies that have written $20,000 checks for sponsorship as of this morning at 9 o'clock.
Wow, that sounds great. Yep. So, that's a big opportunity for the state and the young folks that are looking for jobs in technical industries. The drone industry is a growing, and it will continue to grow. The only thing is the government regulations, like they get into everything. I have a drone, a couple of them.
Yeah.
And they're tightening down on some of the stuff, which I see the reason for it. But it's going to be kind of hard on the hobbyist in the future.
Well, the big thing, and this is part of what is exciting about merging this with general aviation, a lot of the reason we're seeing these laws come out is people really don't understand or know, and I don't pretend to understand or know, but people don't really understand or know what drones are and what they're capable of. And you know, a lot of people think they're just out there to snoop in your windows, and you know, and then the government's going to look in your car as you're driving down the road. And you know, that's not the vision that we see here with this project. These these are drones that we can use them for putting out fires.
Right.
We can use them to locate leaks in gas lines. We can use them to drop water behind, be it fire lines where the firemen are, not water, drinking water, food. You know, down in Florida, they had the hurricane. There was people stuck at their property, didn't have any way to get into land. We could actually take in food by these drones because we're not talking little pocket drones.
Food.
We will operate the little pocket drones.
Right.
But we're actually rated for up to a class 5 drone, which is predator-sized drones. Okay? And these will be flying out of this area. They'll be tested out of this area. And we're going to be able to do things like let's run down this power line and find out where the break is. And let's go out and inspect the roofs on these buildings for the real estate deal when they need to do a roof inspection. Let's go find that kid that got lost out in the woods and use a drone to do that, or an entire flight of drones.
Right. And there's so many things that can be done. Big agricultural uses for them, too.
Ag. So, here's the really interesting part, because we have a vision in 5 years we will be flying drone taxis out of the Washington Warren Field. And here's how you know that we're serious about this. The code name, before we went public with this, was Project Jetson. Okay? So, you remember George Jetson and his boy Elroy. So, this is the type of stuff we're talking about. It's going to be very exciting. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be great for North Carolina. We're taking an airport that was losing money every year, and we're looking at being profitable in 2 years or less.
Right.
Here's the greatest part. To get to December 17th, the cost. Now, remember, the $20 million was already allocated to the airport with no intention of doing anything with drones. So we're not spending any of that to get the drone business here. But here's what's happening. To get from the concept to cutting that ribbon on December 17th, the cost to the North Carolina taxpayers, zero.
Wow.
Okay. All right. How many times have you seen jobs brought anywhere at no cost to the taxpayers?
Not very often.
No, sir, buddy. That's the Kidwell way of doing business.
Well, we appreciate it. We got to take a final break here, and we'll be right back to wrap up the show.
Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call Charles Grover at 252-637-2399 or stop by the shop on 17 South in New Bern. Torque can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they can rebuild your transmission if that's what you prefer. See Torque for a variety of minor automotive repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pump. You can count on Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair.
Hey folks, here's a tip. When you think firearms and ammo, think East 70 Palm. They've been on Highway 70 east of New Bern across from the fairgrounds for 31 years. Drew Preston and his staff know firearms. Gun sales have tripled in under a year, and women shooters are the fastest growing part of their business. Their great inventory, over 300 guns in stock, changes daily. And if you want something they don't have, they'll look for it. New and used, rifles, shotguns, and pistols, buy, sell, or trade. And they also have many holsters, scopes, and other gun accessories. Every member of the staff is deeply knowledgeable, and every one of them is an excellent shooter. So don't just come for the inventory, come for the thoughtful advice. East 70 Palm, your home for firearms, ammo, and answers. Highway 70 East, New Bern, across from the fairgrounds.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out RightWingGranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to RightWingGranny.com.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swansboro, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
How would you like to buy a present, be inspired, and have your spirits lifted? It's easy. Just visit Carolina Creations at 317 Pollock Street in downtown New Bern. You'll find an amazing array of gallery-worthy paintings, one-of-a-kind jewelry, pottery, glassware, greeting cards, personal adornments, and all sorts of temptations. Everything is displayed to please the eye. Prices run the gamut from a few dollars to a few thousand dollars. Many items are by local artists and artisans. Carolina Creations has been voted Best Gallery, Best Gift Shop, and Best Jewelry Store by the Sun Journal's readers. Stop in and see why. The friendly, knowledgeable staff will let you browse to your heart's content or swing into helpful mode if that's needed. You'll enjoy a visit to Carolina Creations. That's a promise.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call with Representative Keith Kidwell. Keith, one of the hottest issues going right now, because we are in the midst of an election, we're in early voting, and we're not far off from Election Day. One of the hottest issues we hear so much about is election integrity. Will this be a safe election as far as being valid, or do we feel like it's a threatened election again? What are you hearing? What's the mood of the people as far as the trust in the election process here in the state?
Well, let's take a look at this from truly an analytical perspective. I think if people really didn't, people as a whole, and I'm sure there's some people out there that absolutely have no faith whatsoever in the elections. I'm sure that there's some out there to feel is 100% perfectly safe, and I'm going to say I'm somewhere in the middle, all right, because I know we have issues we need to deal with, and I intend to deal with them. But let's talk about this. At least in Beaufort County, we have seen a much higher turnout than we had in the same election cycle, so the midterms of 18. We're seeing a much higher turnout already than what we saw then. So that tells me that people are still very confident in the election system. Now, what have we done? Well, let's look at this the real way, guys. Cooper didn't let us pass any election reform bills. I had several of them out there. Anything that hit his desk, he vetoed. We had nothing but an uphill battle to move anything in the General Assembly to try and correct anything that we did find wrong with the elections. We got nothing but pushback. Matter of fact, we got a literal death threat from a member of the House on the floor of the House against another member when we said we wanted to go out and inspect the voting equipment in Durham County, North Carolina. That's the attitude we got from the left, is that they just gave us the hardest pushback they could. Here's where we're at. The people are turning out. The people are voting. The Republican Party made a great effort throughout the state of North Carolina, and to my understanding, and I can't speak to that directly, but it's what I've heard, also through the rest of the country, to get out what's called poll observers. If you're listening to the show tonight, it's too late to be an election judge. It is not too late to be a poll observer. What an observer does, you are the security camera on the ceiling over the cash register. Okay.
All right.
You can sit there and make sure people aren't cheating. You can't run over and accost the people. You can't yell at somebody. You simply can very nicely go over to the election judge and say, I see this anomaly. I want to make sure it gets handled and handled correctly. We in Beaufort County, I know Dare County, Pamlico County, Hyde County, we have done everything we can to get training to teach a poll observer how to be a poll observer, what to look for, and we've trained a lot of people. To have every poll in North Carolina staffed, we need to make sure that that happens. Once that's done, we need to address the election laws when we take the supermajority. Something I've said many a time, guys, a lot of times folks will elect the Republicans or their candidate, and they sit back and say, wow, we won, we're in good shape, send them off, let them do their job, and I don't have to worry anymore. Wrong. I'll give you the analogy you've probably heard me say before. Guys, when you have a toddler, no matter how good they are, you do not stick them in a room with electric outlets and plumbing and breakables and say, kids, have fun, we'll see you in 2 years. No, you have got to do the same thing with politicians you do with those toddlers. You got to keep a constant eye on them. When they do something wrong, you have to correct them. You have to stay on top of them. I invite everybody, stay in constant touch with your Board of Education, stay in constant touch with your elected officials, whether they're sheriffs, whether it's your county commissioners, and most certainly on the people that you send up to Raleigh to make sure that they're doing exactly what you sent them to do. When they're not, correct them just like you would one of the kids.
Absolutely.
That might include a spanking. I don't know.
Yep. Well, Representative Kidwell has indicated that we have a bunch of toddlers in our legislature. So that this coming election, folks, you have the option to put them in time out.
That's right. Absolutely.
So Thanks for that, Keith. Bob, you had a question or a comment?
One other comment that I'd like to bring in, and it's not within this state, it's that the in Pennsylvania, the courts ruled against accepting the late ballots without postmarks on them. And I guess the election officials are saying, we're going to ignore that. What would be the repercussions? How would we address that?
Yeah, I honestly, that dumbfounds me. I hadn't heard that one, so that's new to me today. I've been out at the polls and not listening to the news, so I did not catch that. I would hope that we have the ability, and if we don't, it is something I plan to look at. I would hope that we have the ability to arrest people that don't do what they're supposed to do. We need teeth in all of our laws. I hear this from the Department of Water Quality. I hear this from the Board of Elections. I hear it dealing with the Department of Transportation. That we have these different departments that feel like they can just make it up as they go along.
Yeah.
And that's absolutely not the way a government works. One is it makes it hard for you and I to understand rules and not run a riot of the laws. Just imagine you're driving down the road and they change the speed limit as you're driving. Okay. Well, how are you not going to get a speeding ticket?
Yep.
Okay. We need to have hard cast laws that these people can't just change namby-pamby and decide what they want to do. Okay. And I intend to look at that from that perspective, up and down the slate. I can tell you, and you know, it'll probably take me years to get this done because there's a lot of departments in this state to do it. But you know, I've got two people here in Beaufort County telling me that water quality won't give them a permit. That CAMA says there's no reason not to. And when they ask, well, why the water quality, they say, well, we have a new interpretation of an old rule. What?
Yeah.
How do you get to know it? Did somebody change the way we read in English? Is that what happened? Is
absolutely,
that
why you got a new interpretation? The liberal left has done that.
Well, you know, 1984, including that's all I'm going to say.
Including the Constitution.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm reading the Constitution that started again last night. Just read a history book on 1763 to 1789. And I'm reading through the Constitution, Declaration of Independence, the Articles of Confederation. And I like to read that at least once a year before I go back to the General Assembly and keep it as a reference book because, guys, it's really pretty easy to read if you go read it.
All right.
It's really easy to understand. It's a lot easier to understand than the Bible is.
And, you know, I was going to say, folks, if you get tired of watching TV, read the Federalist Papers.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh, yeah, I've read that twice now. And read the Anti-Federalist. Gives you both sides of the coin.
Yeah.
But, yeah, if you've not read the Constitution, and you know, this is important. I'm glad that came up. There's a part of the Constitution, Article 1, Section 8. It's called the Enumerated Powers. Okay, there are 27 enumerated powers we have given the federal government. Anything that's not in those enumerated powers, they have superseded the Constitution. Thomas Jefferson said anything that goes beyond the Constitution is prima facie illegal. On its face, illegal. So let's talk about that. Education, not in the Constitution.
Right.
Forced vaccinations, not in the Constitution.
Illegal.
Okay. Shutting down our churches, not in the Constitution. We did not give that authority to the federal government. They do not have it. When they exercise something super constitutional, whose fault is it?
It's our fault.
It is our fault.
Absolutely.
It is we, the people, because we have sent the wrong people, we have entrusted the wrong people to do a job. November 8th, you have the opportunity to start pointing this country in the right direction. Look at your candidates. If they don't know and understand the Constitution, look at a different candidate because you got the wrong one.
All right.
And bottom line is, they've got to do, we gave them the authority to run this country, and if they're not doing it right, let's pull them back and send somebody up that's going to do it the right way.
Absolutely. And folks, I want to just, you know, I hear a lot of people say we need a law. We need a law. Folks, I don't think we need a lot of new laws. For most parts, we have plenty of laws to take care of the problem. We need to enforce them. We need to demand that they be enforced. So, you know, you need to get to know your sheriff real well because he's the highest official, legal, law official in the, not just your county, but in the country. The sheriff is the only law enforcement official that is elected. So he has the most power. He can run.
Rick, you have to remember there's a book out there. And I'm going to give a little plug here for this guy. Richard Mack, former sheriff,
yep,
wrote a book. It is called The County Sheriff, America's Last Hope.
Right.
Get that book and read it. It is absolutely amazing. The authority and power that a sheriff does have to come up against the federal government and any other branch of government, in that fact, when they're going beyond the Constitution. Remember, he has taken an oath to support and defend the Constitution. So if somebody is doing something that is outside the bounds of the Constitution, they have the legal authority to stop that.
All right. Well, Mary, you had a quick question. We've got a couple of minutes left.
Okay. What to you is the most important issue that is going to be discussed in the upcoming session?
Mary, I could not give you any one item. There is a long list. You know, no, I can. I can. Actually, I can nail it down to you in one word. Freedom.
Yes.
That is the most important thing that we have to deal with in the next 2 years in the General Assembly of North Carolina and for the United States. Our freedom has been absolutely destroyed. We lost our freedom when the government told us we couldn't go outside, we couldn't go to the restaurants, we couldn't go to the gyms, our children couldn't go to school. There are so many things that we stood by and allowed to happen. Freedom has to be the number one thing we deal with. Our job as elected officials is to protect and defend the liberty of those we serve. And I never forget this, and I don't even have an opponent, so, you know, it's all good. I'm not running for re-election right now because I'm in. I just have to be alive on November 8th, and I win. Here's the bottom line, guys, and I say this on the floor of the House time and time again. The number one job of any elected official is to protect and defend the liberty of the people they serve.
Yep, absolutely.
Okay?
That's
and if we're not doing that, if we don't look at every piece of legislation, if we don't consider new legislation that does that when necessary and tighten up old legislation, and it keeps that in mind, we have failed in our responsibility as elected officials.
And folks, you need to know the Constitution, you need to know the laws, and you need to know your sheriff and have his number on speed dial. So when these unconstitutional edicts come down, do not comply, tell them why, and if necessary, ask your sheriff to defend your rights. That's my opinion.
Here's what I want you all to think about. Very last line of the Declaration of Independence, right before the signatures, says everything that Americans need to know and do in order to be successful in America. We have to pledge our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. And if we're not willing to do that, we will lose this republic and America will cease to exist.
Absolutely. Well, Keith, we sure do appreciate the time you've given us this evening. We're all out of time for today's show, but we hope to have you back in the near future, and we wish you the best of luck. And go out there and kill them, okay? Okay, that's all the time we have for today's show, folks. Come back and join us again next week for CCTA Wake Up Call.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, wellness educator and nutritional consultant, at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.